Bruce Newberry,
the food dude.
When there's a real chill in the air, there are a few things that can delight all your senses, like the wonderful things going on in the kitchen. The minute you hit the door, all your senses get engaged. The smell of the good things cooking. You hear the sizzle. You just can't wait to taste, particularly when that cook is preparing Gaspar's linguiça or chorizo. Adding Gaspar's to any one of your favorite dishes, chili, pizza, omelets, sandwiches, lasagna, pasta sauce, there's almost no end to the wonderful ways Gaspar's can be served. And Gaspar's linguiça comes in slices, franks, cocktail bites, and the traditional sausage. There's even sausage out of the casing for sauces and stuffing. So now that the cold weather is here, it's time to treat yourself to the unique taste of Gaspar's linguiça once again. Available at all major supermarkets, Gaspar's, the Portuguese sausage the whole world has been enjoying for 100 years. New year, new learning, new opportunities, you know, clean slate and all that. So I thought we would spend some time expanding our knowledge base about wine. And on the line with me to do just that is the wine director, certified sommelier at the Coast Guard House, who is putting on no less than a wine boot camp. Alyssa Wybranek joins us on the line. Alyssa, nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, we really appreciate being able to expand our knowledge and to learn. You know, at this time of the year, it just fits with our plans and resolutions and things like that. What a great idea for you and Bob and the crew there at Coast Guard House to come up with this wine boot camp. You've actually done it before.
We did. We started it last year, was our inaugural year, and we learned a lot. We did a lot of kind of social media outreach on what direction ahead with what topics to cover this year. So it is derived from, you know, interest from people, not just us saying it. So and we landed on Italy. So.
Oh, excellent. Well, that was going to be the question I was going to ask. Where are you focusing on? And hey, what better place than to talk about wine and to discover and learn about wine than the wines of Italy? I mean, you can, you know, it's like learning music. You know, you learn how to play piano, you can probably play about anything else. So you learn about the wines of Italy, and you can figure out just about any wine that's made anywhere else on the planet. So I think you're in a good spot. How long is the boot camp?
So the boot camp, the overall topic, as you said, is Italy. And then we break it out into four sessions. So the sessions are basically every other Sunday, starting on the January 21st date. And each session covers a different region in Italy that we decided on between me and the other educator, which is Brittany, who's also a manager here. So we have fun with it.
Oh, excellent. So this is not just a one-off. So you're signing up for a few classes here.
You can either sign up for all four, which we provide at a discount, or you can just cherry pick which ones you want to go to out of the four. You could do one, you could do two, you could do three, or, you know, take the benefit of going with four and getting a discount on the four sessions.
Well, sure, and getting that much more knowledge. I would imagine this would be a key if someone is planning a trip to Italy.
I would definitely recommend that. We are touching on some areas that are lesser known, or I should say lesser traveled, with our boot camp, and that was purposeful.
Nice.
Yeah, so because, you know, even though we are delving into a certain part of Tuscany, it's not the usual, you know, Chianti or Brunello Montalcino region. So, but if, yeah, people are looking to go off the beaten path, then I would highly advise, you know, at least two of our sessions, which are the road less traveled.
Nice. Give us an example of one of those areas or one of those wines that we might learn about in that part of Wine Boot Camp.
Sure. So we're kicking off the Sunday, January 21st session in a region that's dear to my heart, is Franciacorta, which because, you know, of its style, I think it needs to be recognized as an alternative to other Method Champenois regions. So it's usually an eye opener when you when we serve like a bottle of Franciacorta here at the restaurant, they say, this is from where?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's just, I mean, that's a great, great point. Can it be called champagne if it's from Italy?
No, it cannot. That's the phrase that is for the region of Champagne in France. So, but Franciacorta would be the terminology that you would use. And it's, the style is implied that it is, you know, the same process as champagne.
Now, as a certified sommelier in your what's called diplomaed, which is way far along the way of being educated in the world of wine, you'd be able to tell Italian, you know, this Italian Franciacorta from champagne from the Champagne region. Give us an idea. Can you give us just a peek into what might look what we might look for as far as a difference between the two, or is it hard to tell?
So loaded question, of course, blind tasting can be very humbling.
Tell me about it.
<I'm> with And with that being said, what you would look for to try and guide yourself in the correct direction is acid levels in champagne should be higher in the wine, and ripeness should be riper from Franciacorta because it is a warmer region.
Interesting.
But they're using the same varietals as Champagne. You're looking at your Chardonnay, your Meunier, and your Pinot Noir. But those are the hallmarks that you're looking for. And there is a specific style of Franciacorta that does have a little bit less bars of pressure. That could be another kind of hint that it's not from the region of Champagne. But you're basically looking at acid levels and ripeness.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And a little knowledge can really take you so far. I mean, look at what you just shared with us, and you didn't even break a sweat. I mean, that was that was amazing. Just that knowledge, you've really brought our knowledge level up just exponentially for a lot of us, really. And it's it really, we take these characteristics and now we know what to look for. Just little things like ripeness and fruitiness and tannins and acidity, and just to take us through those and to educate our brain, which lets us educate our palate. That's the fun to me. And what an opportunity this is at Wine Boot Camp at the Coast Guard House. So this is great. Tell us more. Where else can we go in Italy?
Okay, so that was our first session. So, and sessions are $55 per person. Mm-hmm. And it comes with a little bite that's from the region. So the culinary team is coming up with something that's going to be indigenous to the region to taste while we're talking about the wines and going through the flights. The other regions, that, as I mentioned, some of them are off the beaten path. So we're doing the following February 4th is Trentino Alto Adige. Mm. Again, a less traveled area, some great mountain wines. That Brittany is actually going to be spearheading that region. And, you know, we will be throwing in a Trent Doc, which is, again, another sparkling wine from Italy, from a region that people don't typically think of getting a wine made in the Champagne method. So that is always a surprise. And then we are going to do the traditional Barolo and Barbaresco, which I'll be spearheading on the 18th of February. And then we're closing out on March 3rd with Bulgari, which is obviously, you know, a place that developed out of basically, what is it you want to call it, adversity.
Yeah, so, yeah, sure. Of course, once upon a time, it was owned and operated by some people that weren't very nice.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun four sessions. We're always trying to evolve here. And one of my kind of directions the beginning of this year was to hit the road running with, you know, boot camp. And we are also doing something different with the pastry chef. Myself and her are doing a dessert dinner series, which we're pairing with, you know, not necessarily dessert wines for all five courses, but just to get people to come in and have a five-course dessert menu.
Wow.
So, yeah.
When is that?
That is, that's actually fast approaching. That's Thursday, January 18th. So yeah, she's, our pastry chef, Jamie Welch, is going to start us out with a cheese and chocolates. And then we go to white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, and bittersweet chocolate. So those five different small bite desserts I've paired with, wines for people to see, like, the diversity of how you can enjoy, dessert with wine.
Give us an idea, because you're, mm-hmm. we're talking pairing desserts with wines mm-hmm. that are not dessert wines. So, I'll take that to mean they're not going to be the sweetest wines, but that is really an amazing experience. So the cheese and chocolate, what are you going to pair that with?
Lambrusco.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. So it's still sweeter, and you've got bubbles there. So,
right.
So that makes a whole bunch of sense. What a great choice. And Lambrusco is so fun.
Yes, it is so fun. Yeah, it's quite a diverse range of pairings in that. And we were ending with our local Newport ice wine, so that's always nice. Yeah.
Fantastic. It's the whole ice wine. Are you going to teach a little bit about ice wine?
For the dessert series, yes. Yeah, we will talk about that. And we also have, a Grand Cru, Gewürztraminer from Zinhombrek, as well. So we'll touch a little bit on that as well, talking about ripeness levels.
So you're really not too far out of those flavor profiles that would be sweet, as opposed to, you're not going to put us in the port sector necessarily. What's the opposite of FOMO? Could be Island Homemade Vermont Ice Cream. Did your social media just tell you yesterday was some special ice cream day? Well, it's always the right time to stop by our scoop shop for a cone or a cup. There's two kinds of cookies and cream or cookie dough, maple, maple bacon, maple walnut, five with chips, mint chocolate, coffee chip, vanilla M&M, vanilla, French vanilla, two sorbets, pink grapefruit or red raspberry, black raspberry, sensational strawberry, seesaw caramel, double chocolate, sprinkles or M&Ms, peppermint stick, pies, pints, and island coconut. Is there such a thing as ice cream FOMO? Nope. Just come back tomorrow or stop by your favorite store for a pint. Island Homemade Ice Cream Scoop Shop, Williston Road at Commerce Street, Vermont's other ice cream, and the opposite of FOMO. Talking wine boot camp here. We're talking with Alyssa Wybranek from the Coast Guard House, where wine boot camp takes place, as well as this amazing dessert wine pairing and wonderful surprises for you. And it's all about just expanding your knowledge and making your wine experience so much deeper and broader, and it has benefits on so many levels. We were talking backstage, Alyssa, and I said that what a great opportunity you guys are really capitalizing on because once upon a time at this time of the year, you had experiences and opportunities for experiences like the Boston Wine Expo and some wine festivals that were going on at some other places that are still going on but have taken on a far different characteristic. But you'd have education components of with these events. We haven't really gotten into a lot about Alyssa, but you're an educator at Johnson & Wales.
I am. I spearhead their WSET program. So that is quite fun to do.
That is quite impressive. WSET happens to stand for the Wine and Spirits Educational Trust, which is a pretty prestigious organization and some pretty impressive letters to have after your signature. And there aren't very many people who have that around here. And ones that do, you're going to know their names, because they're some of the who's who of wine and spirits around here in this state. And we talk so much about how great we are at food and wine and things like that. Well, it's the real deal, you know. We have some serious players and some serious knowledge base. And, you know, it comes honestly, if I may use that, because, I mean, the wine program for so many years was under the watchful eye of Dr. Ed Corey.
Yes.
And I learned so much from him over the years. So, You know, you're following this in some great footsteps.
Yes, he was my instructor when I was going through the program, so he was inspiring. And I, little beknownst to me at the time when I was, you know, going through diploma, I think he had it in his mind that I was going to be able to help him out with teaching. And then obviously he retired, and it's been great to kind of like be the lead educator over there for the program. So, and I always touch base with him every now and then.
Oh.
He's
well,
great.
I hope
man.
He's doing well. Please give him my regards next time you see him.
I will for sure.
He and I would talk at length. And again, I can't tell you the free wine education I got from him. It's worth a fortune. Believe me, really amazing. Back to Wine Boot Camp and back to our tour of Italy. Give us one more here, Alyssa, that we really, really would benefit by. I don't even know which ones I want to ask you about, because when you mentioned one, I wanted to ask you about that. And when you mentioned another one, I want to ask you about that. But let's go in another direction. Give us another of the areas or the wines that you're going to educate us on, and really give us a chance to go behind the label and inside the bottle.
I think that, again, Trentino Alto Adige is an area that, we should really be paying attention to. They are, you know, they do have quite a few co-ops there that are of, you know, high levels of production, but then they also have quite a few small producers that have been around for, you know, generations. I think the influence of, you know, Slovenia and Austria are definitely felt in that region, that kind of Germanic undertone that you can get, particularly in Alto Adige with the wines, because they lean white. But they are also kind of on the cutting edge of doing some experimentation with other varietals that are, you know, starting to be planted there, and dealing with just how they're combating climate change there, if we really want to go deep, because it is getting warmer up there. They had this past year, I was there in October of 2022, and they have days now that get up to, you know, 85, 90 degrees for a consistent basis, which is unusual for them.
Oh,
so,
boy.
But it is a region that, again, that the food with the wines, because they're high acid, you know, wines that, you know, are great to pair with food. And we just don't, like, when people say, oh, I want to have a Pinot Grigio, you know, because that's a very large amount of what people in who drink white wine lean towards, that or Sauvignon Blanc these days, they would never think of this region. They usually want to trend to the Veneto, and it is a different expression of Pinot Grigio. And on top of that, you have different interesting varietals up there, like the Fioridori family that does Teraldego, which is a great variety that was going to be extinct if it wasn't for Elisabetta. So lots of lore in that area. And it's just a region that to me captivated my heart. And we thought it would be a great way to kind of introduce some wines, because we have quite a few on our list that people should try.
That's amazing. So you're pouring a Teraldego at Coast Guard House.
Bottle list, yes, not by the glass.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think by the glass. That'd be a heck of a glass.
Yeah. We have, you know, as I said, we do have a Pinot Grigio from the area. We've had Gewürztraminer, which they've actually trended away from that, and that just came with, you know, how the area changed its flag over the centuries.
Yeah.
But so it's a fun area, and I know the chef's going to have a fun time coming up with something that will be presented as the regional food.
Really, really amazing. I'm so impressed. And yet, I'm reminded of how this state that we live in just has so many layers of just everything. I talk a good game here, Alyssa, and I was introduced to Taraldego and the whole Alto Adige region by someone in the wine business who lived there in Narragansett. And who hung around. Who hung around at a wine shop there in the pier just as it was opening and, you know, would just show up every once in a while and open a bottle, do some tastings and talk a little bit about it. And I learned so much. So you just don't know in this state who knows what and who's next door. So, you know.
Absolutely. That's a 100% true statement.
This is going to be a great series. And boy, just to... come in and you'll meet so many amazing people who are taking this boot camp. I know you will. Give us the dates once again, Alyssa.
Sure. So we are starting, again, it's every other Sunday, and we are starting it on January 21st. So January 21st is with Franciacorta. February 4th is Trentino Alto Adige. We go to February 18th is Barolo and Barbaresco. And then we finish out on the 3rd with that region of Tuscany that's less traveled, Bolgheri. So,
amazing.
We're looking forward to it. And we've had a good response so far. So we're hoping that we'll be full. Last year, we did classic regions around the world, and surprisingly, we had 40 to 50 people at some of them. So wow. I'm hoping for the same.
Well, no reason why you shouldn't. This is amazing. And so if we want to reserve our space, how do we do it?
You can drop onto our website, thecoastguardhouse.com, and it'll take you to go to this events page, or you can also just plug in those dates into OpenTable as well, and you'll be able to sign up right there.
Just amazing. Or,
and of course, old school, giving us a call.
Oh, there you go.
We answer our phones. So.
Fantastic. And this is the Coast Guard House in Narragansett, Rhode Island, by the way. So it definitely is a landmark for some great wine enjoyment and some wine education. Alyssa Y. Brannick, our wine director and certified sommelier, conducting the boot camp.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us. Take good care. We'll see you at camp.
Bruce Newberry,
the food dude.